Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Glass, and I praise God that you were able to join me for the broadcast today. Recently, I was speaking with a loved one long distance on the phone, and we were talking about the problems here in this country. And I just said, well, from my perspective, I see the many evils that we face. I mean, there's a lot of economic concern and financial problems, and there's a lot of really, really serious issues facing this nation. But the root cause is really spiritual. It's not going to take some kind of economic plan, or not that we shouldn't do things in the natural, but the root of problems are spiritual. And that's why, you know, I've always stood for decades on that scripture, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin and heal their land. And this nation today is in a mess. Why? Because on a whole, people have turned their back on God. And many in the church have compromised the gospel message. They've let humanism usurp the gospel. Maybe not in your church, but there are churches that have done that. And of course, when Satan attacks or assaults, they just run cringing in fear. Some say that, you know, Jesus was just a good man. Well, that's an insult to God. To say that Jesus was just a prophet or a very wise man or a good teacher is to do violence against the very plan of God and the Word of God. Of course, He was all those things, but He was the Word made flesh. He was and is the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, who came manifesting Himself in human flesh so that man could be reunited and restored to fellowship with God through His atonement, through His bloodletting, through His suffering and death and resurrection. Praise God. Jesus said to us in His own words, "Hitherto ye've asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be made full." I've been ministering this week on the power that we have in the name of Jesus. As we look at the 16th chapter of Acts, we see Paul moving in obedience to that legal authority that he had. There was a woman, she was verse 16 says she was a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination, and she brought a lot of money to her masters, and she followed Paul many days, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation," which of course was indeed true. But in verse 18, "And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour." Praise God. A demonstration of the power of Jesus' name. Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verse 17, teaches us that we are to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Whatsoever you do in word, all that we think, all that we utter, speak, communicate, indeed, what's that? Well, that's our actions, what we do, our labor, our work, word and deed. Everything that we do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 14, states that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, who is the head, even Christ. And a little further on in that epistle, the fifth chapter, verse 20, we're told we're always to give thanks to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, verse 11, ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Hebrews 13 and 15 says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And James 5 and 14 teaches us that we're to anoint the sick in the name of the Lord. That's what James tells us, and the Lord will raise them up. 1 John 3 and 23 says, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. So as we read the Word of God or the New Testament, we see that the name of Jesus was an integral part of early church life. It filled a place in their thoughts, in their prayers, in their ministering, in their preaching, in their living. And beloved, today that it hasn't changed from God's perspective. We have that same right, and we should be moving in that same authority. Why? Because we also, as believers, have a legal standing before the Father in Christ, in his name. We can do those same mighty works through the power of God. When Jesus gave us the authority to use his name, he gave us divine legal right to represent him here on earth. And so when we pray in Jesus' name, it's as though Jesus himself is praying. Now, why did he do this? Well, the reason he gave us the authority to use his name is that we can carry out his will on earth. We can carry out his will, which is really the Father's will. Jesus is, he's at the right hand of the Father right now, but we, as his agents, as his ambassadors, can carry on and do the same works that Jesus did. In fact, Jesus said, you're going to even do greater works, praise God. So we individually and collectively, as the body of Christ, represent him. When Jesus told his disciples, whatever you shall ask in the Father, ask the Father in my name, I will give it to you. They didn't sit around and argue about it. They didn't form a committee to analyze it. They simply acted on Jesus' words. Jesus declares in Mark the 16th chapter, verse 17, and these signs shall follow those who believe. Notice this is an open-ended statement. There is no time designation here. Contrary to many who teach that the day of miracles is over, Jesus never said, he never implied any such thing. Those who believe, this is what they're going to do. In my name shall they cast out demons, Jesus speaking. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Hallelujah. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. Now, this listing of things that believers shall do, well, if you don't believe, it's not going to happen. You don't have to be concerned. But if you will believe, these same signs will follow. Praise God, beloved, through the new birth, we are now in Christ, and we've been put into Christ. We're branches on the vine, and Jesus is the vine. This supernatural power is available to every believer. Praise God, beloved. I pray that you get a new vision of the tremendous privilege you've been given to use the name of Jesus. His name transforms our lives. His name has miracle-working power within it. Jesus walked this earth as the miracle worker. His teachings were miraculous. He lived in the realm of the miraculous, the supernatural. Miracles happened when he came on the scene. He went about healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil. His birth was a miracle. His death was a miracle. His resurrection was a miracle. His ascension was a miracle. Everything about Jesus is miraculous. Praise God. He is the miracle worker. He hasn't changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Aren't you too glad for that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, it's been a joy to minister to you this week. It's exciting to talk about the things of the Lord. As I bring this broadcast to a close, I'd like to invite you, if you've been listening for a while and you feel the anointing and little tugging of the Holy Spirit, I invite you to become a part of our spiritual family. If you've listened, you heard me mention that from time to time. And for those who initiate, those who write in, I've got strong feelings about mailing lists. We've never bought or sold mailing lists, and we only contact or respond to those who initiate contact with this ministry. So it's a very personal, very special, sacred part of Unveil Christ Ministries, this correspondence ministry. And Psalm 107:41 says, "Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock." That Hebrew word for families means clan or kindred, tribe, race, people. It's much broader in scope than our English word, family. So essentially, it's an ever-widening circle of relatives with strong blood ties. And beloved, when I say, greetings in Jesus' name, welcome to the Unveil Christ World to the World broadcast, my spiritual family, I really mean that. Thank God for the blood of Jesus, which unites us and sets, according to Psalm 68:6, the solitary in families. And he's just placed on my heart such an increased awareness of his desire for family. Truly, we are brothers and sisters by his divine desire. In this most intimate of all human relationships, that of family, we have identity, protection, help, comfort, supplying of needs, acceptance, support, and mutual protection. Everything we need, desire, benefit, blessing, we can pray for one another, we can be committed to one another, because of the values of the family which our Father God has established. So when I say brothers and sisters, I mean that from the depths of my heart. So I invite you to be a part of not only the family of God by accepting Jesus, but be a part of UCM spiritual family as well. The announcer will give you our mailing address. God bless you for your prayers, your financial help. Until next week, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.
Oh,